Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. Just cleaning my glasses. They were dirty, as I do. No, wait. Yeah, I'm rusty. I haven't been here in a while.
I know. You've been gone for so long, man.
Yeah, I survived.
How was your time away?
Did I tell you ever what I was going to do?
I don't think you told everyone. Oh. You told me afterwards.
It's true.
When you got back and everything was safe.
Oh, right. Because this is a live show and it was supposed to be a surprise. I mean, that's the beauty of... I went to a whitewater rafting tour for a bachelor party. And the beauty of a bachelor party is that you torture the crap out of the person who's getting married. I personally don't believe in that, but everybody else was doing it, so I, you know, peer pressure.
Everyone else was doing it, so you had to do it too?
Of course, or then I would be also the one getting punked or whatever, but we basically, you know, kidnapped them and took them, you know, a nice kidnapping, if you will, and took them whitewater rafting, and it was interesting. It's not at all like Connect Adventures, where you collect coins on a whitewater rafting tour.
Whoa, there's no coins in the river?
No.
Why did you even go?
I lost a shoe. If anything, I got the opposite of getting coins.
And you lost a shoe?
Yeah, I lost a shoe. I swallowed plenty of Ottawa River water. And for those that don't live in Canada and think our water is clean, it's not. It's pretty dirty.
Well, some of it is. Some of it's quite clean.
Yeah, not to drink unexpectedly when you're trying to breathe.
Yeah, it's probably full of fish pee.
Well, I mean, isn't all water? I like to think we all get a little fish pee in our water here. That's unfiltered right there. It's like a 20-year-old fish pee. I don't know. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun, and I highly recommend everybody do it at least once. But
I've always wanted to go and do it. I've just never actually done it.
I wouldn't have done it out of my own free will. That makes sense. Like, I wasn't forced to go. I said, you know,
did they tie you down?
No. I was invited, and I was like, you know what? I've over the last few years, I've sort of lived by a, I'll try anything once, unless it's got to be cooked though. If I'm eating it, I'll try anything once. And whitewater rafting, I had not done, so I was like, okay. But I'm not gonna like, you know, I'm not the kind of guy who comes up with that mantra, and then every weekend it's like, okay, I haven't fought a bear yet. Let's do that. You know, I'm more than happy to play video games, but when I was invited, I was like, yeah, you know, let's go whitewater rafting. It was a lot of fun. Wetsuits, not so much fun.
No?
Very unflattering.
I like wetsuits.
Oh, no. They're not fun. I had the... this isn't video game related at all, guys, so I'm sorry, but it's still hilarious.
That's okay. You, like I was saying last week, you haven't actually missed an episode of Gamers Inn before last week, so... You know, you get some time to explain yourself. I think inquiring minds need to know.
Yeah. Well, then maybe we should stop there because I was about to describe my wetsuit story, which I could just tell you right now that when you try to put on a wetsuit that doesn't fit, it's uncomfortable.
I can see how that would suck.
Yeah, and I had
probably
to like...
Probably literally not in the fun way.
Because I had to like tear it off me. While everybody around me is trying to get into their wetsuit. And here I am, like, get it halfway up, and the guy's like, I think you might need a bigger size. You think? Asshole. He tells me that I need a... He gives me, like, okay, he's a nice guy and everything, I'm sure.
He probably did it on purpose. There's probably, like, one dude every time that he does it to, and he's just like, oh.
Let's get this fat guy to put on a size lower. Yeah, let's do it. But I will say most of the guides are interesting, because, they all smoke pot and drink a lot. And then the next day they take you rafting. So
really inspires a lot of confidence.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like I'm complaining, but really I did have a lot of fun and, ended up falling in the water, once that wasn't by choice. And,
you fell in the water by choice?
Yeah. Like the way it works is they take you down the river and, They you know, they pull the boats over, or they finish a rapid, and they're like, all right, guys, if you want to get in, you know, you can jump in the water, and everyone jumps in the water, and you hang out, because you're in wetsuits, it's not cold, and then...
The Ottawa River wasn't cold?
Well, it was cold, but when you're wearing a wetsuit, it's sort of like...
Oh, okay.
Insulates your body, I guess. So, I mean, after a while, it gets cold, and you have to get out, but when you're in there for a little bit, it's not too bad. you know, there was an occasion where, like, they say, okay, we're going to take the boats over here, and then you can walk up and actually, like, ride the rapids down on your own, which is scary, very scary, you know? Like, and ride it on your own, meaning no boat, you just lay back with your life jacket.
Oh, no boat. Oh, yeah, no.
And you go down, and like I said, I'll try anything once. And then there was, like, an 18-foot cliff we could jump off of.
Did you do that?
I did. I did not look down until I was in midair, and I was like, yep, this was a mistake. I'm going to die.
Did you at least keep your feet together?
Yes, and because we were wearing a wetsuit, it, you know, you didn't have to worry about, like, having water shoot up your butt. It kind of, that wouldn't happen.
It absorbed some of the shock.
Well, it just holds it out, you know? That's what a wetsuit's supposed to do. Keep the water out.
Nice.
But it was interesting.
In all of your wet water adventures, mm-hmm. did you have time to play any games?
I did. Right before we left, I had gotten out of work early because I was supposed to, we were all driving down together, and I ended up leaving at noon and got home. And then my ride was delayed by 4 hours. So I ended up playing a whole chunk of Wind Waker HD. We touched on it 2 weeks ago.
Before you left. I was like, wait, did they make it on the 3DS too? Wait, I was so confused.
I didn't play any games there. Not only was reception on the phone pretty bad, and also, like, we had a pretty jam-packed sort of, like, schedule where we were, like, either whitewater rafting, sleeping, or that other stuff you do at bachelor parties. We'll get into it. It's a family show. That's a joke. This isn't a family show at all. Yeah, Wind Waker, we had talked a little bit about this off-air a couple days ago when we were having our Extra Life meeting, and I got into the...
Spoilers, guys, we're having Extra Life meetings!
Well, yeah, spoiler, we're more organized this year. Yeah, so I got to my favorite part in that game where you get to the old Hyrule point. Spoilers. It's a
10-year-old game. There's no such thing as spoilers. Also, unless they changed the story.
They did not. It's the same story. Some would argue that every Zelda is the same story.
Take that back.
Yeah, let me just check my old Hyrule Historia here. Oh, yeah, okay. They're all different. They're all different. They just have a man, a girl, and a horse. Some sort of beast.
As all stories should.
Yeah. Again, it's a family show. You remember that point in Wind Waker where you kind of go under the water and you sort of walk. You having just played Ocarina of Time not maybe 5 years before Wind Waker, it's still fresh in your mind because it's one of the greatest Zelda games ever made, and you're walking through this castle and you realize, like, shit, this is the castle. This is Hyrule Castle. And I remember vividly when I was playing it, like, now we're talking about, like, way back in the day, playing it for the first time. And that's
like
when
10 years ago?
Yeah, that's when it clicks that, at least for me, maybe other people smarter than I had already realized this, but this is when it clicked for me that all the Zelda games were sort of like, there was a timeline. You know, there was some sort of connection between them all. And that's when I started to dig in. It's like, well, this is 1,000 years after Ocarina of Time. And, you know, Ganon was sealed away. And so was Hyrule. And, you know, Ganon comes back and you have to save the world. And it sort of sets up that, like, reoccurring, like, you know, Ganon gets out. There's a kid dressed in green, Link, that comes up and tries to save the day. And I think that was really mind-blowing for me back in the day when I first realized that.
Mm-hmm. That was definitely one of my favorite moments of Wind Waker was the kind of callback and the realizing that there was a land underneath, and that, like, when you were running around in the mountains back in Ocarina of Time, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait a minute, the mountains in Ocarina of Time are now the islands in Wind Waker because basically the whole valley is flooded, and it's just like that tie back together was so cool way back in the day.
Such a... interesting concept.
That's, like, the only thing I liked about Wind Waker.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't remember if we discussed what you didn't like about it on the show.
For me, it was mostly the art style. I really liked I like all of my stuff a little bit more to the serious dark side of things as opposed to the light and cartoony side of things. So the swirly smoke and the, you know, the bad guys that just go poof. And I don't know. I like my Zelda a little bit more Twilight Princess-y. Mm-hmm. But even then, there was poofing in Twilight Princess.
Right.
Yeah. Twilight Princess was this, like, what?
Family show. Poofing, I think, is a thing.
Is it?
I don't Urban Dictionary it. I'm not going to do it, but it just sounds like it could be a thing.
It sounds like it could totally be a thing.
But I understand what you're saying in the sense that you like a more mature look to your games in general, it sounds like, right?
Yeah, not just Zelda, but just generally in my video games. I don't mind disappearing bad guys. Like, if you kill them and then they just go away, then that's fine. It's the poof into purple, cloudy, cartoony smoke that I'm just kind of like, not so much. But so it was kind of the art style. It was kind of just like the mindset that I was in at the time. And I remember not liking the navigation part.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's a huge part of the game, right? I felt like it took really long, and then you always have to change the wind, and it just, I was kind of like,
Yeah. No, I totally
get the other way.
I found myself on multiple occasions, well, I haven't beat it yet, but I'm probably like halfway through. I'm enjoying it, but I see your...
You beat it the first time, though, right?
Yeah, I've already beat it, but I find that it's been long enough that I haven't played it, and just, I'm remembering things, and I kind of know where to go and what to expect, but it's still interesting to experience it again.
I don't really remember, other than the fact that there was a pirate. I don't remember very much about the
whole, Tetra.
Yeah, because I always found it funny because her name is a drink box. She's a juice box, Tetra Pak. She's a juice box.
She's a juice box, but I mean,
it's like, that's such a stupid name.
It is weird. I mean, even when you. I mean, you know, like, she's Zelda the entire time.
Spoiler.
We're spoiling.
I know.
We're allowed to spoil it. If
you
I
do.
I know. It's not hard to do. You mentioned the navigation, and I agree. Like, they said they addressed it, and I don't know. They said it was like they have like a full sail mode where you go twice as fast.
Mm.
But I don't think the speed was the issue. I think it was just the... If you're not into exploring every nook and cranny of the ocean, then you and you're just trying to go from point A to point B, which I am, because I don't have a lot of time to game, and I kind of just want to... When I want to explore, I'll explore, but when I want to get to a dungeon, I want it to be quick.
Mm-hmm.
And before you get that warp spell, you're kind of like... I found myself, like, okay, pointing myself in a direction, listening for audio cues and checking Twitter, you know?
Well, even then, you... could only warp to certain spots, right? There was like little tornado things on the map.
Enough to get you
generally
across.
The case. But, you know, then once you got there, then you had to do the change the wind thing, which was playing the song, and then you had to, you know, like over and over and over.
It was tedious.
I think that's all it was, is that it was tedious, and you know, I wasn't pulled into it the same way I was with, because, I mean, people could say the exact same thing of Majora's Mask, is that was a very... repetitive, tedious game. I didn't feel that way, but Majora's Mask really pulled me in the same way that Ocarina of Time did. So Wind Waker didn't do that. Wind Waker just didn't grab me.
Mm-hmm.
So then it made all of the other little bits take a really long time and feel more tedious and like be more, oh, why am I doing this? It's like, well, you're doing this because it's a Zelda game. And eventually that just... I mean, it's why I never finished Skyward Sword. Eventually, because it's a Zelda game, is just not enough to pull you through.
Right. And we're going to be talking about this in Quickfire, but like, did you hear about what Anuma had said about changing the formula and basically changing Zelda? Like, does that interest you at all?
I am so excited about this, what's coming up with this next Zelda game, because, I mean, basically... I'm just going to skim.
I don't have that.
Okay, so basically what they're doing is they're taking the store that you have access to pretty much from the start of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you have enough money, you can buy any of the items. Whereas previously it was like you have to beat the mountain dungeon in order to get the bombs. And then once you have the bombs, you can explode open the rocks that are blocking off the water temple. And then after you beat the water temple, you get the ice arrows that let you, you know, blah, 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 on and on. You know, you have to beat one dungeon in order to get into the next one. Well, now you can decide, okay, I have 15 rupees and that will buy me the ice arrows, the bomb, or the hookshot. Mm-hmm. And so you can decide which dungeon you want to open, essentially, by being able to purchase whichever key you want.
Yeah, now that seems like a step in the right direction. Now, some of the problems we had with Zelda was the hand-holding. Do you feel like this removes that in the sense that I can just, okay, I'm going to buy the boomerang and on my map, okay, the boomerang dungeon. You're like, you're still going to the boomerang dungeon, you know, because you're getting the item that is basically the key to all the puzzles. The key to,
yeah.
And, like, that's, there's that. But, I mean, we've talked about this 1,000 times in the sense that, you know, Nintendo was close with Skyward Sword, but then just veered off the cliff into a ravine when it came to holding your hand. Like, they were like, they gave the option. There was like a kid hand-holdy mode, and which displayed all the controls on the screen, and then there was like a pro mode, which was basically just a regular game. But they still constantly like, hey, you know, if you do this, you do that. So, like, okay, giving you the option to do whatever dungeon you want is great, but until we see that, you know, okay, go play, and then come back and ask me if you need help.
I think that the difference is, I mean, for instance, the part I know on our actual Zelda episode, which I think was like way back in episode like 15 or something like that, when we had John on to talk about Skyward Sword. Mm-hmm. That's Icon Master on Twitter. You should all go follow him because he's fabulous. But anyways, so when we had him on, one of the things that all three of us mentioned as our favorite part in that game was, I think, after you beat the first three things down at the bottom and you came back up to the Skyland or something, and basically there was, you got taken into the thunderstorm, because this is about as far as I got, and it's kind of fuzzy because haven't played it in about a year now. So
fuzzy.
You get into this thunderstorm spot, and there's a puzzle, but you at first don't even kind of realize that it's a puzzle, and you can't go any further. And then so you just kind of start like poking at stuff, and then, you know, like moving things around, and before you know it, you realize that, you know, you push on this rock here and it's moving something off in the distance, and then you realize that by moving around all of the different rocks and stuff, you can actually create a path so that you can head forward. But at no point do you have a little fairy saying, hey, you should try pushing the rocks, or like little arrows or sparkles or anything. Like, there's no indication in game what you're supposed to do, and that was so much fun. So if they combine that sort of puzzle solving experience where they don't even tell you that there's a puzzle and you have to even figure that out, on top of being able to do it in whatever order you want, I think this game is going to be amazing, and they're finally back on track.
Now, this game we're referring to is the Link Between Worlds on 3DS, yes, just in case people are wondering. Yeah. And that is out November 22nd. So good thing none of us are buying an Xbox One, am I right, people? Because that comes out on the same day.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm excited.
They still haven't announced my bundle, though.
Yeah,
They've teased at it, but they haven't officially announced it.
Well, I mean, if you look at the past, those things sort of get announced, like, really close to release for some reason.
Yeah. And, you know, I have never, ever actually played a Pokemon game other than Pokemon Stadium, which apparently isn't even real thing.
That's not real.
Yeah. So.
I'm sorry. You'll understand when you actually do, if you do play Pokemon X or Y, and you'll be like, oh my god, Ryan was totally right.
Yeah, so they have hopefully bundles. We'll be recording. They have a blue one, and I would never say that on mic. Come on. They have a blue one and a red one, and they're these super cool, like, collector's edition 3DSs, and I really want the blue one, and I don't even know who it is that's on it. I'm like, I don't even care. There's just this random Pokemon on my thing, but the blue pattern looks so cool.
Is it the... Oh, wait, there's two of them. There's... I think...
It's the same pattern, it's just one is red and one is blue.
Oh, okay.
And I don't really... Why are there two games? What is X and Y? Is it spoilers?
No. I can explain this real quick, because they've done this since the beginning. There's always been two versions whenever they... Unless they're releasing, like, a special edition. So the original ones were red and blue, And what they did, and I don't know if I think they do this to a lesser extent now, but back in the day, it'd be like each version would have like 20 or so exclusive Pokemon. So you had to trade with your friends.
I said there were exclusive Pokemon. Why wouldn't I just buy both games?
Well, I'm sure Nintendo would love to hear that. But really, back in the day, when I remember pretty vividly that, like, I bought blue and a couple of my friends bought red, and we would be sitting in on recess, like out in the whatever they call it, the playground. It's been a long time, people. And we'd have our little link cables, and you connect them, and you play Pokemon, and you trade them, and they go back and forth.
Why would you ever trade away your blue Pokemon?
Well, you only did it to get all the Pokemon. You didn't, like, trade your favorites.
All of them. If you're trading away your blue ones to get the red ones, then all of a sudden you just have all the red ones and not the blue ones. This doesn't make sense, Ryan.
I can't remember how it works, but I think there was, like, a thing called a Pokedex, and when you caught a Pokemon that added it, okay, when you saw a Pokemon, it was added to your Pokedex, and then when you caught a Pokemon, you got like a Pokeball checkbox thing telling you that you had caught it. Okay. And then once you catch it, you can trade it to your friends, and you still have that checkbox.
But you can't battle with it.
Right.
You do understand how much I like battle petting in WoW, right?
Oh, you're more than welcome to buy both. But yeah, you could trade them with your friends and then try to get all 151. Now there's like 500 of them, and it's pointless to try and even get close. But
there's like 600 battle pets in WoW. I'm like 2/3 of the way there. Come on.
Right, so you could be playing. You want your battle pets on the go, you should just pick up Pokemon. I think I'm going to get the one with the bird on it, not the one with the deer. I think I'm planning on getting Y. The other one's X.
So then I should get the X one so that you can give me all your Pokemon, right?
Well, yeah, if we want to catch them all, maybe that'll be a goal.
Of course I want to catch them all.
Now, are you aware of the Poke Rap? Or, have you ever watched the anime show? I'm not gonna sing.
I'm gonna mute you.
I'm just saying it so people can be like, oh yeah, I remember that show. And then they'll go to YouTube and they'll listen to it. I can't do it justice.
Okay.
But you gotta catch them all. Pokemon.
So, have you been fooling around with the Steam family sharing beta much? Because I just logged into Steam because I was just like, oh, it seems like everyone's in this beta. I should totally be in this. I'm not in the beta, Ryan.
I was going to ask before we started to see what you had experienced, but I kind of have a problem. Not a problem, but what I originally thought was so cool about the sharing beta was that I'd be able to have 10 of my friends, because I don't have family that play video games, that I could share my games with and, like, say, hey, Jocelyn, try this game. And then she'd be able to play it and we could talk about it. But
Ryan just called me family, guys. Aww.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean. Like, I have friends that I would consider family. I'm cool like that. But but then I said I'm cool like that, which made you not
you
cool.
Just totally wiped it all off.
Yeah. Sorry. Garrett, come back, is what Jocelyn's thinking. Anyways, I looked into it, and I guess I can't be playing any games for you to be able to access my library. Did you know that?
Any games at all? I thought that, like, if you were playing Borderlands, I couldn't play your copy of Borderlands. I thought I could play your copy of Tomb Raider while you played Borderlands, but if you're playing any game at all in Steam, it won't let me play any of your titles?
Yeah, so the way they worded it, it sounded like you basically borrowed a game from their library, which makes sense to me. When I go to my brother's house and say, hey, you want to borrow Walking Dead? And he's like, sure. And I give him the disc. But the way it works with Steam family sharing, which family is the key word, we'll come back to that. The way it works with Steam family sharing is I go to my brother's house and give him the box, but I tie a little bungee cord to it, and I move into the other room because I don't know why. I just move into the other room. So he's playing my games. He's digging through the box. It's like, oh, man, I can't wait to play all these. And then I'm sitting in my new room, and I'm like, I kind of want to play video games. And I just freaking yank my library back. He's kicked out. He can't play. Even, for some reason, it pulls the disc out of the Xbox. I don't know how it does it. But so that's the way it works with Steam family sharing. It's by the library.
Not a fan.
And I don't, it's beta, they may change it, and that's why family...
I could have sworn, like, if we had had this discussion before you got into the beta, I would have sworn up and down that it was based on a per-game basis. Like, as soon as you were, like, as soon as you wanted to play a certain title, then you could kick me out of the game that I was playing, and it would give me, like, a little bit of a delay, like a save screen, basically, and would say, you can unlock this title for X number of dollars, whatever it's selling for on Steam right now, or otherwise, save your game, because Ryan's kicking you out.
Yeah. But,
again, I thought that was per game, not per library, because then that's lame.
Well, it makes
you
sense.
Game too much, so I'd never actually get to play.
That's, well, I mean, lately, if you looked at my activity, you would say the opposite. I'm really playing a lot of Steam games, but so I still think it makes sense to, like, connect all our libraries and then, you know, try it, and, you know, there might be some annoying things that come up when I want to play a game and you're playing something. That might happen, but I think the family word is key. Like, the reason they don't call it Steam Sharing Beta is because it's aimed at families who have multiple accounts in the same household. So you can imagine that if we have one gaming computer and I don't want, let's say, theoretically, my son to be getting achievements on my profile, he can go onto his own profile, borrow the game from my library. And this is also good for parents because then they don't have to buy games on their kids'
accounts.
They can just hold them all. And it'd be really nice, actually, if Steam Family Sharing actually, I don't know if they do this, but they put in, like, parental controls.
I don't know if they do or not, but that would be a good thing to implement, I think.
Yeah. I think it works for what it wants to do, and it's a step in the right direction. The reason I found out is because a lot of people were complaining in the forums, and obviously they're people who want to have one master account, buy all the games there, and just share it. It's like
share
that's
it with
not
10 other friends,
what it's for.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm gonna play around with it a bit more. I have to find a few people that actually are in the beta. I know iGovos is. I was going to connect with him. I know. Well, you're in Hearthstone beta.
I'm in Hearthstone, so.
You win, I think, by default when it comes to betas.
Yep. I win all the betas, which is actually one of the things that I've been playing. It's Hearthstone. They reset last Tuesday. So I'm actually kind of excited because, I mean, I felt like I got really excited about the beta and I played it for probably about 15 hours or so. I never really got good enough at any one class to kind of pick one, and there were all these, like, balance issues, like rogues were like an auto win button, so I just kind of, well, except for when I was playing them, then I just seemed to lose all the time, but, like, apparently, so I hear, rogues were an auto win button, so I was really looking forward to everything getting wiped and then, you know, kind of starting over and trying to feel my way through it again with the new balances and everything else. Plus, they're not going to wipe it again before the game goes live, apparently.
Right.
So whatever I earn now, I'm going to get to keep, which makes me want to play more. Before, I was just like, well, I don't want to lose all my cards. I don't want to lose all my levels. Like, I'm just going to have to play through all the content over again. So, you know, I'm not going to get that hardcore into it. But now, everything that I do in the beta is going to go into the actual game. So,
can I just say how un-Blizzard this beta has been?
I can't believe it's not open yet. I feel like it's probably going to go open really soon.
I hope so, because I think we're really seeing, like, this is a smaller team, so they have to do things differently, but I think we're really seeing a different side of Blizzard that we wouldn't really expect to see, in the sense that they're, and I don't blame them, but this is weird. They're like, they're having this exclusive beta for people who opted in, won contests, got keys from friends or whatever, that's fine. But then they have a wipe, they only doing one wipe, and it's during the beta. So all those people, like, including you, are on a different level than people jumping in. And it's kind of unfair, because it is
a total unfair advantage, because, like, day one, I'm already going to be the level cap right now is 60, so I could, in theory, have all my characters at level 60 as soon as you're ready to jump in. So that's not really fair or fun for me to play against you, but if I'm playing just, like, free play or arena, it goes, like, it has the same sort of balancing system. I can't remember what it's called right now, and everyone's probably going to be yelling at me at home. The background system that it calculates how good you are.
Oh.
There's a whole numbers thing. I can't remember what it's called. Anyways, doesn't matter. Point is that there's a background balancing system. Everyone has a number assigned, so it pairs you up against someone of similar skill. So I will be paired up against all the people who've been in the beta the whole time that I've been in it, you know,
right.
In theory, assuming that I'm awesome, because I am, so I'm not.
Well, I want, half of it is I really want in the beta. I really want to start playing this game, but the other half is, like, I legitimately think that Blizzard is doing this weirdly. Not wrong, just weirdly. Like, there's no wrong way to do a beta. It's a beta. But
yeah.
It seems very un-Blizzard-like.
It is. It is very odd. But, I mean, it's working in my favor so far. So
I know.
I'm a fan. But,
you opted in. We talked about this, right? You didn't get through the opt-in process. You didn't, you know, win a contest. Someone had some keys, which is fine. That's all good. I'm just saying that
totally bitter, except for the part where you're totally bitter.
A little bit, but I'm just spelling out in the sense that even, like, not everybody's getting in the way people would normally get into a beta by opting in.
Yeah.
Again, like, I think it's totally cool.
Any better, I'm not in the WildStar beta, nor am I in the Elder Scrolls beta.
Is anybody really in those betas?
I don't think so. I don't think that they actually exist. I think they're just like, oh yeah, guys, we totally have a beta. Yeah. There's like people, but they're just not allowed to talk about it.
You know, I think at this point, it would be really nice that I think we bait it when companies start sending us beta keys. So I can't wait until that happens, and then we can actually talk about a game rather than like reading about it and talking about it. I mean, how hard is it to send a beta key? Do we have to
you begging? Is this you begging?
Not yet. Maybe next week.
This close. Speaking of next week, I think I'm going to leave Guild Wars 2 till next week because I did get my hands on it a little bit. So, but we're kind of running a little bit short on time because Ryan talks too much. So
I do. I fully admit it.
I am just going to remind everyone that Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code TheGamersIn to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig, so head on over to doghousesystems.com and get your order on, which brings us to Quickfire News.
Which, evidently, I forced Jocelyn to do. I learned that last week.
Maybe a little bit. I was like, I totally don't remember saying this, did I? Oh, yeah, I totally did.
Yeah, you did. But it's totally not true. It's a
mutual.
I believe
I said Ryan isn't here to force me to do Quickfire News, so I'm just not going to do it. Yeah.
That may or may not
have come out of my mouth.
That's what she said. It's totally cool. I mean, I am the hugest fan of Quickfire News. Zelda producer is fired up. If you could picture a Japanese businessman, he's fired up. Starting with Link Between Worlds, as we talked about, and even more so with the new Wii U Zelda, the franchise will be trying something new and moving away from the traditional Zelda formula. Eiji Aonuma said, "The more we change it, the more I get fired up." Fired up. Having someone think, huh, is this Zelda? At first, then, oh, it is Zelda, is what we're going for. Okay. Could this be the answer to our wildest episode 15 dreams?
So it was episode 15. I was right. Nice.
I went back and checked. Jocelyn just knew. That's how big a Zelda fan she is.
They're making a Star Wars Tiny Tower. So say goodbye to that precious time thing you've all grown to love. They are making a version of Tiny Tower, but this time it's in space. In Star Wars space, to be exact. The game, called Tiny Death Star, is coming soon, although no official release date has been given.
These guys are amazing. Pocket Trains is currently what I'm obsessing over. But PlayStation teams up with Extra Life. Gamers Inn is taking part in Extra Life, and it seems PlayStation is also joining the cool kids. When you sign up for Extra Life and register as a PlayStation participant, and gain access to a whole bunch of rewards, including Ryan Learns to Speak. Each is earned by gaining more donations, starting with a PS3 theme just for registering, all the way up to a PS4, 2 games, and a year of PS Plus for the most cash raised. Where you at, Microsoft? Get on it. We need something from you.
Wow, that's actually quite impressive. And I wish I had a PlayStation. You'll have to wait for Last of Us DLC. The first map pack DLC will be out October 15th, which is entitled Abandoned Territories and features 4 new maps and things like vertical gameplay. But players will have to wait until December or January for storyline DLC, says Naughty Dog. Casting has just been completed for a new character, and so the performance capture has not actually started yet. Even so, they believe it's possible to hit a December or January release window.
Maxis is exploring offline SimCity. Pause.
Woo!
Yeah, exactly. For all those who haven't raced off to the nearest message board, sit back down. On their website, in a State of SimCity post, they stated they were exploring offline mode for SimCity, not developing. Nothing concrete quite yet, but it's nice to know that they're looking into it after one solid month of gamers complaining and then 6 months of those gamers not playing SimCity. Joking aside, here's hoping they live up to these statements and we see this offline mode sooner rather than later.
Everybody gets gold this weekend. Xbox's Major Nelson posted on his blog that this weekend will mark a free Xbox Live Gold weekend for all players, allowing people to try out the multiplayer experiences they have been missing out on. If you live in Argentina, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, Mexico, or Japan, you'll have to wait up to a month before this offer hits your region. Which brings us to our topic of the week, which was going to be the topic of the week last week, but Ryan was like racing down a river or something. Lame. So anyways, now we are going to talk about Valve and Steam and the machine.
The machine. So everyone probably knows by now what we're talking about. These Steam announcements, they had 3 of them last week.
Yes, last week. It was the big week of Steam announcements. So they had teased that they were going to announce something, and then they teased that they were going to announce 3 somethings. I don't know why they didn't just announce them all at once, but anyways, we got 3 separate announcements. So out of all of that, the first announcement was, drumroll please,
SteamOS.
SteamOS.
So what is OS stand for? Well, whatever. It's Steam. You got Steam. It's an application, right? I don't know why we're delaying. I mean, we're worse than Valve. It's going to be an operating system you can actually install on any hardware piece. You can make your own. We'll get into this later, but you can go out and buy a specific machine that'll run SteamOS. And it's basically Linux, except easy.
The future of gaming.
Yeah, well, okay.
Says Gabe.
It's not the future of gaming in the sense that Linux, like, have you ever tried to use Linux?
Twice.
I had a friend who was like, Linux is the best. It's the greatest thing ever. And every time I tried to use it, you know, you'd hit an issue and it's like, oh, you gotta just debug your graphics driver and then run the command line to prompt up your commands posts. And I'm like, what? What did you just say? And he opens up and he's like, and he's like, oh, it's working. It's like, what? Okay, great. I don't know how to do that. So that's the problem with Linux. But the great thing about SteamOS is that it's not any of that command prompt garbage. I would think that it is going to be a fully realized OS and specifically tailored to gaming. You're not going to be processing Word on this thing, hopefully.
No, that's true. You're not actually, it's not made to be a PC. It is made to be more like a console in that it just hooks into your TV.
Exactly.
It's a go-between. It's a streaming device.
Yeah, it'll feature primarily playing games specifically tailored to the SteamOS and Linux. So 200 games that currently run through Steam on Linux will be compatible with SteamOS. You're also looking at, which I think is the best feature this thing has and is making me going out and building a Steam box right away, is game streaming, or home streaming rather, where I can have Bessie here. I'm pointing at my computer, a cow in the corner of my room.
You named your computer Bessie?
Yeah, because it's freaking huge and I grew up on a farm. This is actually Bessie.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think you've ever told us that.
Well, I grew up on a farm. We had meat cows, turkeys, chickens, pigs, goats at one point.
No wonder you love Animal Crossing.
Yeah, I get to, hey, there's Bessie and there's Beatrice and there's The best thing is, like, Thanksgiving's next week. Don't worry, Americans, you haven't gone forward in time. And every time I go to family dinner, I always make a joke that I've named the turkey. Because usually the turkey we're eating was at one point in our field. This Billy's left wing tastes really good this week.
So don't you mean Tom? Aren't all turkeys named Tom?
No, that's just racist.
They are in my head.
It was funny the first time, like 5 years ago. Now it's just creepy. but yeah, you'll be able to stream. So I don't have to, literally this is what I do. I unplug Bessie, like lift her up. She's huge. She's about 20 pounds. You get her up in your arms and then you lift her up over to the TV in the other room, which one of these days I'm going to trip on something and Bessie's just going to go flying.
I know. I can totally picture that.
Yeah.
I don't know. You guys at home may not know, but I'm tall. I'm lanky. I'm a huge klutz. Every time I have to move the doghouse to take it outside and blow all the dust out of it, I say goodbye because I am just assuming that I'm probably going to destroy it, whether it's going to be me falling and tripping and throwing it into a wall or throwing it off the balcony or, you know, it's going to happen. So yeah. I make sure I say my goodbyes before I pick it up.
Yeah. So with this, you'll be able to have what I hope with the steam machines is a little box that is strictly for streaming. So I can load up SteamOS on my TV and say, okay, access my library. I want to play Saints Row 4. Boom. It's streaming. And it's, I mean, we haven't seen any of this. This is all just text on a website. So we don't know how well it's going to work. However, knowing Valve, I would hope it works freaking damn good. And that it is the solution to the biggest hurdle to PC gaming in the living room. And that's my office is in one place and my living room is across the house.
Mm-hmm.
So that remains to be seen. I'm pretty optimistic, but alongside those fantastic features you've got, you're going to have your media center. I'm sure there'll be Netflix and YouTube and Hulu.
Oh, I'm sure.
All that fun kind of stuff.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, basically, like, we have an Apple TV and we absolutely love it. So mm-hmm. I'm kind of assuming that the Steam OS, Steam Box, that's going to be maybe not a replacement for, but definitely in the same vein as the Apple TV, right?
Well, yeah, one
same sort of functionality, except with the added functionality of the game streaming.
Yeah, that's one aspect of what SteamOS can do. Now, that being said, if you're feeling it, once this thing gains enough support, you could theoretically take Windows off your computer and just have SteamOS on there. You know, it's something.
Why would you can't play WoW on Steam?
That's a very good point. Now that yeah, you're right. That's a really good point, and maybe they'll have the ability to have, like, you'll dual boot or something. I don't know, but this is what they're aiming for. They want this to be like Gabe has been very open. Gabe Newell from Valve. I mean,
yes.
I'm just very familiar with him, so me and him go by Gabe. We compare knife collections all the time. He has said that Windows is killing gaming with every new release. So
yes, yeah.
What he's doing with SteamOS is this is his answer. It's like, okay, he's literally putting his money where his mouth is and saying, Windows 8 sucks. Here's my answer to that, SteamOS.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, is it going to replace Windows? Probably not. But for those people who strictly have a PC for gaming,
it would have to be a dual boot situation. Have to be.
For you, yeah, for you. To play like specific MMOs that don't compatible.
But I mean, like, if you said earlier on that it's not like you're going to be word processing in this, it's like, right, if you take away my operating system and replace it with something that's an operating system that only does video games, I do a whole lot more on my computer than just game. I love games,
yeah,
but it's not the sole purpose of my PC. So you can't strip out my operating system and replace it with something else without replacing all the functionality of my PC. So, I mean, being Linux-based, obviously Linux machines can do the things that Windows machines do, but I don't know how much functionality is going to be built into the SteamOS if it's actually going to be a replacement for Windows.
Well, I mean, I have my MacBook and then I have my Windows PC. My Windows PC, you're right, is I use it for media streaming and stuff. I don't use it just for gaming, but But there's no reason, I don't think, why you wouldn't be able to have a dual boot scenario where you have your office partition and then your gaming partition, which is SteamOS.
You mean your lame one and your fun one?
Yeah. The one where you have to get stuff done and the one where you gotta get stuff done, you know? Gotta collect those...
Get her done.
Red drops and, I don't know, some game. I was trying to think of a Skyrim item and I couldn't, but
aww.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. And, you know, they've also announced that, you know, their second announcement being Steam Machines, in the sense that, which sounds an awful lot like you could take, there was like a toy or something like Mean Machines or something. That's not a thing, is it?
Yeah, I think Mean Machines, weren't they like not Transformers, but like there was Micro Machines and Mean Machines. They were all like little cars, weren't they?
I think so.
They are now.
Hot Wheels or something.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a Canadian thing. I apologize to all our American listeners. But yes, this Steam Machines is interesting because you're going to have two sides to it. You're going to have the Valve-made boxes, which are currently in beta or going into beta. And then you have these third parties. Like, literally anybody is going to be able to make a Steam box and put SteamOS on it. So you could see, you wouldn't probably see it from Apple and Apple TV, but maybe the Roku would put out like a specific box that is, you know, for SteamOS. I think that could be interesting. Because like I said, I'm interested in the small little puck type device that sits on my TV or near my TV and legitimately just streams stuff. These Steam boxes will come in all flavors in the sense that you'll be able to buy one that is just a gaming PC. That's kind of boring, but, you know, you're going to see those. I mean, they just announced the hardware specs for the Steam Machine, and they range from... They're mostly high-end computers, which is odd because, like, I don't know, maybe these are specific, like, configurations that they're toying with for their Steam box, but these are, like, high-end components, like, really newly released graphics card from NVIDIA, you know, an i7 processor. So, but I understand they're doing this just to kind of like test out the different configurations that they can put this OS on. But I didn't actually, I just saw that they have dimensions on here, and it says for comparison purposes, the dimensions are about the PlayStation 3 Slim. So that's pretty decent if you've seen one of those PS3 Slims.
I have.
It's probably what you would expect a VHS player to be. Throwback there. But, like, that's pretty interesting. Like, that's still not... I mean, you and I both have these big-ass computers, right? Like, that's still something I can legitimately pick up and carry into another room without having to worry about throwing it.
Throwing it off the balcony?
Yeah, by accident, of course.
Not that I've actually done that.
Or would want to do that.
No.
But I don't know. Like, I gotta ask, like, are you interested in buying a Steam box? Like...
No.
No? Not even, like, for a streaming option? Like, a little one? Like, $100 one?
Maybe.
Yeah?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. You listening, Valve? That's commitment. I agree with you in a sense. I gotta make sure it works first, but like if, think of it, like if it worked 100%, like don't you have a big screen TV just like every time you go in the living room, it's like, it's looking at you. It's like, why don't you play games on me anymore, man?
And I'm
like,
you know, well, that's true. I mean, there's titles like Tomb Raider and Alan Wake, and I'm trying to think of other things that I have. Well, I mean, God, the Assassin's Creed ones, I haven't touched them in a while either. So, you know, I've got these big titles on my PC, and usually it comes down to I sit in front of my PC and I go, okay, what do I want to play? Mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, it's WoW. Only because I'm like, ah, oh, okay, I have to go do my dailies, and if I don't do them, it's just going to take forever, and so I sit down and I play WoW. And then I play WoW for like an hour, and then I go, okay, well, now what do I want to play? Then I look at my Steam library, and it's huge, and then I'm like, do I really want to sit in front of my computer? I sit in front of a computer all day at work, and, you know, on and on and on and on and on, and usually I end up just watching something on TV on the couch. And I find that titles like BioShock that I have available on my not computer, on my TV, on my Xbox, I actually sit down and I play, and I play the crap out of them because I don't actually spend a lot of time sitting on the couch. So I can play 3, 5, 6, 7 hours, whatever, of BioShock and not even think twice about it. Whereas, you know, sitting down and playing for a huge stretch of time in front of the PC is just, it's not something I really do anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm right there with you. There are times when I wish, like, I could play more games on my TV, and there are times when I would be like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And I would just, like, drag my computer out there, hook it up, and try to keep it out there as long as possible, mm-hmm. you know, to make that trip worth it. And I think with something like it's got to be around $100, because all I wanted to do is stream. I mean,
in my mind, it can't be any more than the Apple TV, because that's essentially what the Apple TV does, is it's our Netflix box, we watch YouTube, and that's pretty much it. Netflix and YouTube is what we use the Apple TV for, although we did actually rent a movie last weekend, so there's that. We watched Olympus Has Fallen, and it was actually fantastic.
Did it end up falling, spoiler alert? Or did it did. Get, oh, it did. Jeez, that's not good. Someone should pick itself up. You know what they say, if you ever fall down, just pick yourself right back up. That's probably what Olympus learned. Is this the family version, or?
Yes, it's the family version. But, the third Valve announcement was the Steam controller, and I'm gonna throw a picture of this up because it's pretty
crazy
different looking. So we've got, let's see, a touchpad in the middle, and they keep comparing it to the Wii U, and I am sorry, but there is a difference between a little, like, size of a laptop touchpad.
Who's comparing it to the Wii U?
Huge thing on the Wii U. I have seen multiple comparisons to the Wii U, dude. Because it's a touchpad in the middle of the controller. So they're like, just like the Wii U, they're copying Nintendo. No, they're not copying Nintendo. Anyways.
I think the touchscreen in the middle, like, I think it's a disservice to compare it to the Wii U, because I'm pretty sure it's multi-touch and a lot more accurate than what the Wii U's packing.
Oh, well, yeah. There's
I think.
That.
I mean, the Wii U is single touch in its capacity. You have to, like, press down on it to get it to work. Now, I think with this, it's meant to replace, like, a mouse, is it not?
And then there's the four buttons that you can kind of see around in each corner of the screen are pretty much what would be, like, your A and B and X and Y on an Xbox controller, but they're on either side, so you can hit, like, two of them with your left thumb and the other two with your right thumb, and your thumbs are not on sticks. They're on these, like, touch pads, but they also have an element of, like, push to them, and they're supposed to kind of feel like roller balls almost, but there aren't actually balls in them. Like, it's
haptics. It's
weird is what it is.
They say, like, you can basically treat them as, like, speakers, kind of, like, I don't know. This whole controller, okay, this is the issue with controllers. And I'm on your side, Valve. The issue with controllers is that they have not changed in 20, 30 years. They've been the same. Like, it's always this, you put it in your hands, it's got some sort of control on the left, bunch of buttons on the right, a start and select. You know, and then it got joysticks, and then, you know, got a little weird, and then, you know, started to get normal again when, you know, it's just two joysticks, you know, some bumpers. This is meant to combine, this is meant to work with every Steam game. It's supposed to work with, they even use Civ 5 as an example, a truly mouse and keyboard game. This is supposed to replace a mouse and keyboard.
You can remap everything. So they were saying, like, I think the examples were Super Meat Boy and Splunky. And you can totally change the way that everything works. So you can move the keys and you can, like, I'm going to throw the picture back up again, actually. You can actually remap those four buttons that are on. I just realized people can't actually see where I'm pointing with my controller or with my mouse here. But you can take those four buttons that are the A, B, X, Y equivalent that are at the corner of the touchpad, and you can actually map them to four locations on that thumb spot circle thing, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And so you can put them in the same place as they are on an Xbox controller. So instead of that being your stick to move stuff around, it can become your A, B, X, Y.
Oh, weird.
All in that one circle. Dude, it's weird.
It's exciting, though.
It is exciting. It could be so good, but it's so weird. I don't know. It looks beefy, which makes me happy because I really have said over and over how much I like weight.
I have small hands.
Big hands.
I remember the Duke, and that was like holding a loaf of bread with two thumbsticks. I'm sorry. and I don't take credit for that comparison. That was way before my time. But yeah, no, I'm excited because, like I said, like Nintendo seems to be the only one interested in changing up controllers, and even then, they're still like the Wiimote still turns on its side, and it's still a traditional controller. The Wii U is just the gamepad is literally just a screen sandwiched in between a controller split in half. Like, this is new. This is different. And I'm sure if I were to go into the Steam community, they're probably bad-mouthing it, but developers are actually really happy about it.
It seems like everything that I read was extremely positive, so I'm excited to get my hands on it. If for nothing else, just to go, what the fuck?
I want something new, man. I want this to work. I want Valve will succeed with this Steam Universe initiative because... unlike Microsoft, they're doing a lot of what Microsoft has done in the past, but they aren't being dicks about it. You know, with family sharing, they basically announced the same, you know, program as what Xbox One had, but they were approaching it from we know you want to share games, and here's what we're doing to get you there.
Yeah.
You know, people are still upset about what we talked about before, but, you know, I'm sure Valve is open to discussing it. So, I don't know. I'm excited.
I am also excited. Mm-hmm. And again, if they can hit that like $100 price point and give me a streaming box with a cool, weird, analog-y, funky thing as a controller, then go team.
Yeah, go team. Because you know what? This is a really good time to be a gamer, and 2014 is going to be an interesting year because I think we're going to see...
Do we have a release date on all of this? Did they just kind of say generally 2014?
Yeah, I think the machines are beta later this year. So we're going to be getting some really interesting feedback there. But early 2014 is when these systems will be launching. The OS is actually supposed to be out before that. So we'll be able to test out streaming. I actually don't have an extra computer around here to install it on, but maybe I should look into that. To actually test it. But yeah, Steam OS will be out before the end of the year. And like I said, 2014 is going to be interesting because I think this is when PC gaming stops being a platform and starts playing in the console world, you know?
Agreed.
It'll be interesting.
So that pretty much brings us to the end of our show. So we just wanted to remind everyone that we kind of teased earlier. We have been having meetings about Extra Life because we are super psyched about this year. We have so many people that are currently on board to come and play games with us for the children. So if you want to donate to one of us, if you want to donate to the team, either way, you can head on over to bit.ly/TGI Extra Life 2013, right?
Boom, nailed it. You got it.
Yes, it's not even in the notes. Boom.
It should be, but it isn't.
It should be. And so one of those guests that we're actually going to be have playing Cards Against Humanity with us is the one, the only, Brian Ibbett.
Ooh.
He will be coming on and streaming the insanity that is Cards Against Humanity. Do not let your children watch. That man is a dirty, dirty man. In the best way possible.
Yeah, he's super
nice.
Don't
let the children watch.
You know what? That game, I played it at Nerdtacular, and I don't want to say it brings the worst out in people, because really you're not trying to be bad. It's just the way
the cards work.
Don't
make up the cards.
Yeah, like you're just piecing one thing together with another, and it's not my fault it's racist. It's the cards, right? but like, yeah, it'll be fun, and it'll probably be later on in the night to avoid like any stray babies walking by the stream. I don't know.
Yeah, no babies in the stream.
Stray babies. I mean,
what was that?
I was going to grab a drink. But anyways, yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. Cards Against Humanity. I'm looking forward to that.
I didn't know that you could actually play it online. So as far as I understand, we haven't actually tested it out yet. But I'm 99% sure that we can stream out one person's hand. So, like, mm-hmm. if I'm playing and streaming, you'll be able to see my cards, and then you can see the game board. Is that right?
Yeah, I think if you guys are interested in checking it out, I think Mike Boyd Iceworm does games every Saturday.
I believe so, because I always miss them because I'm always working.
Yeah, if you follow Iceworm on Twitter, he'll point you in the right direction as to where, you know, how it works. But yeah, I think it'll be great to stream one hand, and I think we should just pick the most racist person to stream, or you know. We'll play a test round and see which one of us is worse.
You're awful. I'm pretty sure that just falls to you by default.
Probably. I mean, I'm super Canadian, and then when I play Cards Against Humanity, I'm just like, I don't know.
Throwing them out there.
Just making sure everybody knows it. Sometimes I remember I was playing and I wouldn't fess up to putting a card down because it was so bad. And you see the reactions like,
That's the key. For those of you who don't know, Cards Against Humanity, there are two types of cards, the white cards and the black cards. And the black cards have a saying on them. So it'll say, I blanked my blank. And then you have white cards in your hand. Ryan, that's not even dirty. It's full of blanks. Don't make that face. So
I don't know. I blanked my blank. It's pretty easy.
That's, actually probably the worst example I could have thought of. But anyways.
But, hey, Cards Against Humanity. I'm sure that card exists.
Could be anything. It probably is. So then you have white cards that have things on them. So, you know, it could be something like my hat, or it could be something extremely racist.
Oh, those white cards are all bad.
Some of them are... Okay, yeah, they're totally...
They're the ones that are
there's no card outrageous. That says my hat. No. I didn't do anything to my hat.
Maybe my monkey's hat.
Okay, anyways.
Yeah.
Have to play a white card that matches up with a blank on a black card, and then together it makes a sentence. So if you have the funniest card out of everyone who has played in that round, you get a point.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to fess up. So if you have the funniest but most offensive card and you refuse to say that you're the one that played it, well, then you don't get the point. So...
Yeah.
It's quite fun, and I find it's better if you know the people that you're playing with, because there's a certain level of comfort, and you know what makes people laugh.
Yeah, that's true, and it'll be interesting, and we'll all be on vent, and that'll be all piped through to the stream, so I think, you know, if you're watching the stream, it'll basically be like watching an actual Cards Against Humanity game.
Yeah.
You just won't get... We won't get those visual tells, but we'll see. It'll be interesting.
It'll be fun. It'll be fun. So I think that pretty much does it for tonight. So you can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can find us on amove.tv along with other fabulous podcasts, including StarCast, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, and Amove Radio. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. I haven't even finished yet. You don't get to wave.
I was waving at me for what you were saying about me.
Oh, sure. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/Jocelyn Moffat. You should totally go and subscribe. That sounded totally fake.
But you should subscribe. Don't listen to Jocelyn.
Then you won't miss any of the awesome video shenanigans. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+. I'm living to make Ryan laugh tonight. I missed you, man.
It's been a long week.
I know. So you can also email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com. Before we go, I just want to give a quick shout out and thank you to Greg Moffat for creating our music. You can find him on Twitter @SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan, who does all of our graphic work. You can find him and everything he does at joelduggan.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn. And remember, tune in next week.